Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Stocks weathering some cross currents here as the jobs number has its hottest print in a year. 353K, upward revisions, even as wages rise above estimates. 10-year is a little suspicious, just flirting with 4. Our roadmap begins with all of these super six-pack earnings now in. We're going to break down results from Apple, Meta, and Amazon.
Plus, we got that latest jobs report, and it did show the U.S. economy added 353,000 jobs in January. That was far higher than expected. Later this hour, we're going to talk with Chevron CEO Mike Wirth. That'll be a first on CNBC interview. Of course, the company reported earnings along with the other U.S. giant Exxon.
Let's get first to the big tech earnings, starting with Apple, moving lower now despite this quarterly beat, ending 4 straight quarters of revenue declines year on year. China did miss. That overshadows some growth in services in the iPhone. And then Jim has been busy on this Vision Pro rollout
well,
today.
Well, I wanted very much to, in my little chance, the window I have with Tim Cook this morning when they unveiled the Vision Pro, to talk to him what really mattered. And I said, look, all of this is really terrific, but how about that first hour in China in April 1? What's that going to do? I mean, like the juxtaposition, David, you have to understand. You're a cynical older guy. I, on the other hand, am welcome to wonderment.
Naive and hopeful.
Naive and hopeful. Yes. And so when I see something that's as exciting as this, I don't say, oh, that's an asterisk, they're only going to sell 160,000. I say, maybe my life is different. Which I shared to Tim. I said, you know what, Tim? Because, of course, it's Tim.
Of course.
You know, in the same way that it's, I don't know, sure, right? Yeah. Or, you know, lady, like in God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What do you think of the hat? My wife put me the hat. It's not bad,
did you get your special time with him? Because he did do this, these selfies.
I was the only one.
Virtually anybody who walked up to him. Okay.
Look at what he just did to me.
That's horrible.
He just made me seem small.
Yes.
You know, I was the only exclusive, just for the record.
Got it. You weren't right in front of the store. All right. Yeah. Well, come on.
Okay,
let's get to Apple's earnings.
All right. Did you read? Oh, the earnings?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. What a buzzkill. Okay, look. If you, China is 1 in 5. You need to see China up.
China was down 13%.
You saw the stock just
do they have a problem in China?
Okay, so that's a great question. And I would tell you, if I were working at Estee Lauder or working at Nike, if I were working at Starbucks, well, these have similar problems. And that is that the consumer in China is experiencing a once-in-a-post-Mao lifetime lack of capital to buy things.
Yep.
And that's what's happening. I mean, Apple customer satisfaction is very high.
It is very high, and it's still the leader in terms of market share. Look, that said, Huawei has a more competitive product on the market. You do have these government crackdowns that we hear about, at least in terms of government employees being able to own Apple iPhones.
Well, we know that of the largest cities, Apple stole at 4 of the 6 in terms of payment. It's so hard, Carl, it's so hard for even for a moment to understand that the Chinese may not have enough money to buy an Apple, or that they may not have enough money to buy a triple cappuccino with skim whey.
Yeah. Cities.
You know, you could look if we had Luxman Narasimhan here from Starbucks, I think he'd be talking about how there's a lot of guys sell much cheaper coffee and we're being hurt by them. So it's everything from a cup of coffee to an Apple.
To cars.
Yeah. Oh, cars. I mean, terrible. We have to. And of course, everybody who has an apartment feels like their apartment goes down. They have a deflationary problem where you do believe that if you just wait, the price comes down. This is not unlike Germany in the mid 20s.
Or even Japan more recently.
Yes. Where you just say, you know what? Why buy now? You can buy later and it'll be less. Now, that also comes with a demographic challenge. Versus, say, India, where you have a stagnant population like Japan. But I do think that if we sit here and we say, that Apple has a China problem. We have to admit that Nike has a China problem. We have to admit that anyone who sells has a China problem. And when you're listening, by the way, to the conference calls, it's always the same, which is like, all right, look, if it weren't for China. Now, there was a period where it was like, if it weren't for China, yeah, we would not have done it if it weren't for China. I mean, you're selling diapers right, in China.
They did have actual revenue growth for the first time in basically a year.
Well, that was
2%
this quarter, right.
For this quarter. My question, I guess, would be, what kind of a multiple do you pay for this stock?
And that is the tough thing, because on the one hand, you see what I saw today, and you just say, look, let's just forget about it. Just own it, and this thing is going to work. And you may have to go through a valley, like you did, say, in 2013-14. And then on the other hand, it says, okay, hedge funds, yeah, you can leave it. I hope you get back in time for if something happens. We know, how long can President Xi continue to do nothing? Ignore Keynes. How long can he ignore Keynes?
Mm-hmm. Citi's got a report out today. When will China's GDP surpass U.S. GDP? Baseline, early 2040s, but we no longer see it as inevitable.
Yeah, there you go. How's never? And never that, good for you?
What do you mean, like when you want to see me for dinner on Thursday?
that's famous New Yorker cartoon.
I do think
but it may be never.
It may be never. I think this country, Eunice, you know it better than anybody, but I mean, this is a country that made a big bet on real estate. And I remember, I'm old enough to remember what happened in our country. We made big bet on real estate in the 80s and almost brought the banking system down. Now we just have New York Community Bank.
Right.
But you know, there were people who made giant bets. And I remember I used to bank at Security Pacific, and the one distributor was one of the biggest banks in the country. Then it disappeared.
It did. I was reporting on banking back then. Let's get back to Tim Cook. Did he happen to mention to you at all what their plans are on AI? And I mention that because, of course, it did come up on the call. They sort of are pointing to later in the year. They've done very little, at least publicly, that we're aware of when it comes to sort of meeting some of the challenges that are out there from competitors. But there is also a bullish case, guys, that says, you know what, over time you're going to need to have compute power move to a certain extent to the phone.
To the edge,
thank you. That needs to be done at the edge. You'll have a thin large language model, if you want to call it that. And therefore, that will require more powerful chips, which will require a shortened upgrade cycle, which would be good for Apple.
They came so close to saying that. I know that Tim doesn't want to get over his skis, as he would tell you, but that is the real saving grace. It will not necessarily be what I saw today with the Vision Pro. Vision Pro will be slow rollout. Remember, Vision Pro, I keep hearing about the price, how much. But remember, you can borrow money to buy something that you're allowed to do. I don't know if you follow. It's called credit.
Really? I'm gonna go in a hock to buy a Vision Pro?
Once you try it, David, you're going to want to think about buying it.
Yes.
And I only say that because Jim's tried it, I've tried it, Andrew's tried it. Our whole crew, actually, and our production staff have tried it.
Did anyone
so
really
on the
say
only look at this video, there's, just I think Julia's in here.
Did anyone say they didn't like it?
Huh?
I mean, did anyone say they didn't like it?
I don't think so.
I was talking to Tim about when I take my contacts out. Okay, so when I take my contacts out, David, you're true with Sarah. Is that Sarah? No?
Sarah is ubiquitous. No, she's everywhere.
She lives ambitiously. What am I going to tell you? She even admits that she's ambitious. That's fantastic. On the other hand, I'm not ambitious.
No,
so,
not at all.
So when you take your, I was saying to them, I said, look, whoever thought that there should be this screen 20 feet from you, so like when you're in bed, I mean, everybody, you're looking at a basketball game and you think it's the Sixers and it turns out to be the Knicks, okay? Which is not bad because the Knicks look really good. But that's the point. And he was saying the same thing. It's like,
every single person has tried the Vision Pro but me. Is this like, well, are you guys trying to tell me something?
Yeah, your life is shallow and without any meaning. But I was telling Tim, this was going to happen, why would you ever put the screen 20 feet? And Tim said, yeah, exactly. There are a lot of things that it's for each his own. You're going to find out what you want on it. But the number of features are incredible. And remember, he's trying, made a case to me last night before the conference call. The B2B, Jim, you're not thinking B2B. He mentioned Walmart, but he also mentioned people who do contracting and they're going to look and see if there's cracks.
Disney Plus out officially today.
Yes. Yeah. And I made it, you know, I think that I was telling Dylan Reback, who was there, works with me for Mad Money, like the idea, Netflix is not going to write for it. Yeah, okay.
Over time, it will become, there's no doubt it's the beginning of something.
You caught the spirit without being there.
I understand that. At $3,500, though, it's going to be a relatively small population of people who can be first adapters.
Well, it may go down in price. Remember that, again, that thing.
I assume it will go down in price over time, as every consumer electronic gadget does.
Look, I think the juxtaposition, watching the stock go down and knowing that if anyone tries it, they'll want it.
You said, why don't you try it before you sell the stock? That's what you wrote this morning.
I am urging people to do that, but they'll never do that. They've already made up their mind that when you put something on your head, you look silly.
It is a little heavy, isn't it? A little bit heavy.
I mean, what did cavemen do? They didn't have glasses, and then the first guy put glasses on, they look silly.
You guys are both believers. Can we talk Meta, though, guys? Or do we have?
Yeah, sure.
We've been spending 10 minutes on this, and you go to Fifth
Avenue. I want to talk about Amazon.
You get your picture taken with Tim Cook. That was just great. No, let's talk about Meta, okay?
Cynical.
This is going to be, by the way, at these pre-market levels, will be the best, second best day in a decade, and the fourth best day ever, thanks Mike Sicardi.
Well, revenue acceleration, Jim. I mean, that's what I keep hearing this morning
from
people on that.
Come on, how about
was
the number?
Incredible. The fact that you can get that at this size company. Other people talking about what was the fastest turnaround in corporate history with Zuckerberg. Yeah. You're talking about an employee number now that's around 67,000. It was 87,000 in its high.
Right.
You know, somebody's saying to me, how long does it take you to, like, you know, you buy a new house, get it together, it takes you like 9 months to feel comfortable, whatever. It's like, this guy reorganized an entire company in 3 months. Unbelievable what Zuckerberg did, and we continue to see the impact from it. They've spent $60 billion prior to this quarter in the metaverse. You don't even hear about it anymore. That's CapEx and OpEx added up
together. But they did $1 billion. They did $1 billion in sales.
Did $1 billion in sales.
And by the way,
the talking about a $27 earnings number in 25, and the fact that it perhaps will finally get what they believe, and again, these are people who own the stock, is a higher multiple based on this growth rate. The revenue acceleration at such a
the
large...
It really is
and
amazing.
So all I get this morning, as you might imagine, are very positive comments from those. And not to mention the dividend now, $5 billion a year, they'll be spending
at
50
dividend.
Cents. That may draw long onlys into the name who previously been unable to own it.
I think that's right. I think the buyback is right. I think that this is a man who at one point says, you know, we don't even need this many people. I mean, it was a very conversational conference call. It was like the least scripted Zuckerberg conference call. My favorite part was when he brings in, let's see if David can guess, who did he bring in?
I don't know.
NVIDIA.
Oh, yeah.
But he talked about the equivalent of 350,000 H100 cards, which is their latest and greatest. And I was thinking, David, is that a blocking action? I remember when Jensen, one of the CEO, was saying, listen, I have a great relationship with Mark. And I was like, are you kidding me? Well, that's a dynamite relationship.
Some of the doubters, Jim, even at this pre-open, are saying no more family MAUs. What does that tell you?
Oh, God, are they really playing that game? How about the fact that because it's just a dominant company? I mean, by the way, WhatsApp, for the first time, we're starting to hear about WhatsApp kind of taking over this country. I thought that was a secure business.
I've really come around to thinking that we operate better as a leaner company.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's Zuckerberg from the call, and that got a lot of people's attention.
Headcount down 22.
It's just
in a year.
Incredible.
They're basically down to where they were in 2021.
They can fire everybody except for him, and they can make the numbers. By the way, Reels is going to crush TikTok. You heard this from me first. It's one of the reasons why he bought all these. Do you know that he bought all this power because he doesn't even know what to do with it yet? He just knows he's going to have to need it.
And that gets back to your point, why you've been bullish, obviously, on NVIDIA for so long and AMD. I mean, AI CapEx at all these companies.
Yeah, it's them.
I mean,
we'll
go through all of them, but at Amazon as well, and here at Meta, is increasing dramatically. Well, and that's got to be good, one would expect, for NVIDIA and AMD.
Definitely. I saw there was a price target raised to 800. Now, look, we had Supermicro the other day, and they happened to report on a bad day. They had an unbelievable quarter.
And then Microchip.
I mean, look, if you hit up SMCI, I think that's kind of that's a good vision of what could happen here with NVIDIA, because they're a partner. But NVIDIA, I just want to say that the reason why AI really does work is speed, okay? Now, Tim is talking, David asked me about Tim and generative AI. That's what Tim's talking about, generative AI. And he's suffusing all these different things. But as he told me, he goes, I don't just sit there, though, I'm kind of paraphrasing, and just say, I've got generative AI, which one of the things that, of course, has bothered us all is that everybody claims they have generative AI, but they put it in without telling you, hey, did you see what the upgrade was? It had a lot of generative AI. They don't do that. They just aren't like that. They do not beat their chest.
No.
Yeah, the other thing it brings up is Zuck's insider selling. Which, if he really thought this quarter was going to be a problem, why would he have sold then? Right? Does it negate that is a tell?
I have a view on that. I don't think he knew how big the Ray-Bans were going to be.
You don't think he knew how big what was going to be?
The Ray-Bans. The first of the Meta products.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think he did. I think they're backordered. I think it's going to be very hard to get them. You ought to try them. Because you're walking around.
Apparently, I'm not allowed to try anything.
Well, you walk around, you download right to your Instagram page, you listen to what you want to listen to. It's a life changer.
All right. But it's advertising that drives this company entirely at this point. It's 97% of revenue.
At one point, I tried to say that.
And by the way, it keeps going higher.
Right. I mean, that's exactly.
And AI is positively impacting the ROI for advertisers right now as well.
Using different mixing metaphors, getting rid of David. It's an advertising-driven company. You're absolutely right.
Yes,
don't ever for 1 minute think that it's something
else. Wouldn't.
Finally, Jim, Amazon, everybody's talking about the North American operating margin, 6.1, beats by 2 full points. Jim, somebody called it a game changer for core retail profitability.
Well, I think it's the first good quarter that you're going to see. Now, Brian Olsavsky's the CFO, Jassy's amazing, but Brian was talking about how much they've cut out of a shipment of a unit. They cut out this quarter 45 cents per package, basically. It's per unit, but I'm using the per package as the rubric. How do you cut out? Can you imagine the gross margins, the acceleration of that? And that's because of the regionalization. Is that because they just get better and better? 45 cents, that's the leverage that you're seeing.
Right, the operating leverage, those who like the stock would tell you, is there.
Those who
and
like
it's only going to continue.
Who doesn't like the stock?
I don't know.
Don't
there's
know
always somebody who doesn't like the stock, Jim. And the investments that they made
who
previously
don't like to make money, and my hat's off to them.
Are seen as a tailwind right now to margins, to Jim's point. And by the way, we talk a lot about Shein and Temu, but they don't seem to have impacted their business.
Have
maybe,
you bought anything?
Maybe Target and Walmart. Okay. I don't know, but not necessarily that.
Walmart's
where
more,
a lot of people
Walmart's
expected
Microsoft.
They were significant, potentially at least significant competitors.
Okay.
Back to Meta, by the way, there's this, they advertise very heavily, Shein and Temu.
Yes.
And there's this worry that you're going to apply some sort of a tariff to, below the $800 threshold, but that doesn't seem.
Have you ordered anything from Shein versus Amazon? Well, first of all,
in my household, I'm sure somebody has. Yeah, not me. I don't order anything.
Okay. Yeah, you don't. Okay, no. So Shein, I ordered some women's clothes for my wife.
That's very nice.
Yeah. Don't look at the Shein women's clothes because you'll think I'm trying to accomplish something. But David, did Shein, the deadline of when you get it? 12 to 15 days. I got it next day from Jassy. Next day. And that's just because Jassy sends a lot of presents to my wife.
Yeah, not a lot of people worried about the CapEx numbers at Amazon, given some of these margins that are rolling in. We'll talk more about it in a minute. Right now, we got Ford U.S. Auto Sales. Let's get to Phil LeBeau this morning. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Carl, this is a snapshot of January. And in January, Ford's overall sales up 4.3%. And the breakout that a lot of people are going to be focused on, hybrid sales versus EV sales. And in January, we continue to see that hybrids, which Ford has been way ahead of GM and Stellantis in terms of production, well, they're reaping the benefits there, up 42% year over year. EV sales, we've talked about that market slowing down. Ford EV sales in January down 10.9%. As you take a look at shares of Ford, keep in mind that we get the Q4 results next Tuesday after the bell. And at that time, we will also get the company's guidance for the rest of this year. And that's important, guys, because they've laid out a lot of chess pieces in terms of deferring EV investment, pivoting as much as possible to the markets where the vehicles are in demand. That is hybrids, obviously pickup trucks, vehicles like the Ranger. So again, Ford's overall sales for January down 4.3%. Guys, we'll send it back to you.
Jonas yesterday, midday upgrade of Ford. Correct view of this. This stock is not going to be down. Jonas is going to get on and going to explain to why he's right, and Jonas is right.
He says it's evident the EV momentum is stalling, puts our 21 target in play on this toggle of capital discipline, Jim.
I think he thinks that this is Farley's time. And I think that Jonas, David, periodically I mention him, and the reason I do is because he's rigorous, but he also is a showman.
Right.
And that's what we want.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
He's the Sinatra
as we said yesterday,
auto analyst.
A lot of the job is marketing, and so he gets attention paid.
Well, he should.
Yeah.
And he doesn't wear a pink jacket, although I don't mind.
Listen, by the way, literary references are important. Being able to write well used to be important.
Right.
I mean, think about Dan Loeb. He came to prominence because of his letters, because he wrote well. Paul English majors
Paul
out
Rudd's
there.
Paul Rudd's a good writer.
Of course, now
Howard
Jedi,
Marks.
Symbolist.
Symbolist is a fantastic writer.
Yeah, great writers.
Eye on the Market is still one of the most entertaining things. I put that right up there. Look, it's not Hemingway. Hemingway's just okay. He's pedestrian.
But can Gen AI just replicate that now?
Conceivably.
Yeah.
But it'll never replicate Stephen King, who is the Charles Dickens
Write
of
the pithy analyst report on Ford.
But if you go back, it's really interesting. What does Microsoft use it for? Summation. They can summarize. I bet you can summarize War and Peace in a couple of sentences, you know? Or how about, like, Anna Karenina? All right, throw cell phone tracks. Next.
We're going to talk more about whether or not of that is stealing jobs. Not today, though, with the jobs number 353. We'll dive into that. 10-year, still flirting with four, and also Big Oil joining the earnings parade. Do not miss Chevron's Mike Wirth going to join us in about 20 minutes as Exxon also prints. Take a look at the pre-market. We'll see what we hang on to here as the Dow's on pace for its best week in about 2 months. We're back in a minute.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
January jobs, 353,000. That handily beats expectations of 185. Unemployment at 3.7, Jim. Wages up 4.5, but the work week was down, which maybe cuts your denominator, does it not?
Yeah, March is back in play, but not in the direction that people were saying. This was, again, I've been saying this is an incredible economy. No, it's a little too hot. But it's hard to keep a good economy down. I keep thinking about I had Cisco on the SYY. Now, they are the company that delivers to a plurality of restaurants in this country, and they're trying to hire like mad. I had Brinker on last night, which is Chili's. They need more people. I mean, every company I interview, they need more people. And that did not change. But they are willing to get the people for a little less money. But
yeah, we do have people being laid off. It feels like we're getting announcements all the time.
But you know, the Amazon people get laid off. They're like $300,000 people. Do you want them? Those people cost you a fortune. That's what you're really making, like $300,000. That's what they're making.
Well, not the corporate staff.
The 27,000, whatever that they laid off.
Yeah, they were not laying off people from the distribution center.
No, but I'm saying that there are jobs if you want them, and the economy. I think if you're Jay Powell, you're very grateful that you didn't join the clack of March cutters.
What do you think he says on Sunday night 60 Minutes?
Oh, that's a great question. He's such an...
He's talking to a broad audience in that case.
And I think it's good if you go back to when he called the bottom when he was on the Today Show. He's a plain-spoken good person. And I think he will make people feel, you know what, I'm in a moment where if I do lose my job, I can get another job. And that's the kind of economy we have.
Explains the confidence numbers.
Exactly. And that's what I think he goes for. I think he also has to try to explain the dual mandate, which is not a term that most people in America understand. Right?
I would agree that most people do not know what the dual mandate of the Fed is. Yes.
Right. I often said to I have a dual mandate tonight. I have dinner.
95% of people don't know who the chairman of the Federal Reserve is either.
No, that's true. He's a rather unknown figure. And he will be, if it's Jay, he'll be unknown on Monday, too.
Well, more we'll learn with Scott Pelley Sunday night. We'll watch that.
Look at
Kramer's Matt Dash. Countdown to the opening bell. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big?
Ooh.
Summarize with AI in a click.
Click, 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 click.
Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write. Stress less and save time at Canva.com. Designed for work.
Let's squeeze in a mad dash here as we get an opening bell about a minute.
One of the things that you've taught me to look at, whether it be Visa, whether it be MasterCard, take a look at the market cap. One of them is AbbVie. Okay, now AbbVie's going to open with a $300 billion valuation, and they're successfully navigating one of the greatest loss of exclusivities in history, which is Humira. Yeah. And they're doing it with a couple of Skyrizi, with Rinvoq. But I have to hand it to Gonzalez. He doesn't do any TV, Mr. Gonzalez, but I will say it is very unusual to be able to handle this. By the way, Rob Davis doesn't have to do it yet because
at Merck, CEO Merck.
Keytruda is still there, but I know that Mr. Warner at Bristol-Myers is trying to navigate a whole bunch of loss of exclusivity.
They've done a number of deals recently, as we know, yes. AbbVie as well. These smaller, not small, but smaller emerging companies and
right.
biotech that will give them future drugs.
And I think that without any publicity, without wanting any show, becoming a public face for AbbVie, David, that's a very good job. And $300 billion is nothing to sneeze at. It's hard to get to be a $300 billion company.
Let's get the opening bell and the CNBC real-time exchange with the big board. It is brain drug development, also neuroscience, IPO today at the NASDAQ. It is J.P. Morgan Asset Management. So we had Flutter, we had Amer Sports, Flutter, now this, Jim, well, IPO pipeline.
Okay, now yesterday you had a great interview with Amer Sports where the CEO came on and said he's going to use the money for growth, but in the prospectus he said it's going to use money to pay down debt. That was a bad deal. I have no problems in saying that. This kind of deal, when you have companies that have biotech, the first thing they do is they go buy equipment from Thermo Scientific, or Danaher, and then they develop things, and then just when they're about to run out of money, Bristol-Myers buys them.
Flutter, of course, a dual listing, but the point is that it is active or getting a little more active.
Yes,
it is
getting more active. We have to be careful not to just recommend companies that the deal is supposed to come at 17, then it comes at 13, and what they really need to do is pay down debt. Therefore, they don't have as much money. I would say that the deals that we're really looking at are more Flutter's a dual listing, but there's, you know, Klarna is a big company. I do hope that we do a little more. Companies that make money, like Arm. Arm is so far the deal that people keep coming back and saying, Rene Haas, that's what we need, are more Arms. Kava, which is doing quite well. And we just want fewer of these Chinese companies to come in and they just crush it. Just crush it. What do you got?
I mean, I want to come back to the overall theme, which is investors still do love growth. And boy,
yes.
are they getting a lot of it at Meta.
Yeah.
And Amazon, they're getting operating leverage, obviously, at these companies as well. It also puts into, I think, perhaps more negative a light, Alphabet's quarter, in a way. I mean, they don't seem to be able to accomplish what Zuckerberg did, and certainly not in any time frame even close to the reorganization that took place at Meta. And it is big tech managing its operating expenses, its headcount. It seems to be really getting rewarded by investors. Not to mention, of course, more in CapEx is being spent on AI and the capacity for that, and that redounds to the benefit of NVIDIA, for example. But give me a take on Alphabet's quarter in light of what we saw from Meta, for example.
Alphabet's not going to like what I have to say, but they've become too opaque for me. Like when they just say, listen, we did really well in YouTube. I mean, that just doesn't cut it anymore. How about some figures for the NFL? Was that a good thing or a bad thing? Don't just say that the production was good. You do your Google Cloud number, which is finally what we wanted for Thomas Kerman. Well, how did that happen? They don't seem to want to tell you nearly as much, which therefore makes me very hard, David, to give it a defense.
Yeah.
It's of the six pack, it's the one that we've sold the most of because I don't understand it. They won't tell me. And they also say, listen, search is not going to be impinged at all by
generative AI.
But I don't know.
Chat, I don't know either.
And they've got the Gemini, and I fool around with it. It's a lot of fun. But then in our office, we had some fun, and we did Gemini, what CEOs have been fired. And it had a list of, you know, five CEOs who are currently CEOs who they say
they've been
have
fired.
Yeah, that was like, you know, maybe it's a way to look at the future. You have like the Wall Street Journal's paper tomorrow.
Carl, there was an interesting Kevin Roos column you may have seen in the Times yesterday. He used a new entrant in terms of generative AI for search and seemed to really like it. I think it was called Perplexity. And saying that it may be his go-to instead of Google.
Wow. How about, we didn't even mention Amazon's Rufus.
Rufus.
AI
I was talking about
shopping assistant.
Yeah, and I was trying to get a sense on whether Rufus is going to make it so that my Alexa does more than when I come home and I say, play Van Morrison. I mean, they're really going to make a push on Alexa, which was losing like $8 billion, and that will be terrific. But they have more. They have this three-tiered product for generative AI that you can sign off on, and the people who are signing off on actually have real uses. It's not just trying to figure out what to do with it. And Amazon Jassy is as transparent as Alphabet is not transparent.
Right.
And Jassy has more to lose for being so transparent, I think, because he's basically telling you his game plan. But it was a remarkable conference call last night. And I think people should go listen to a plain spoken person, a CEO, who lays out why the use case of their products in a way, Carl, that makes me say, if I were in business, I'd be calling them and say, listen, I have this business. It has $100 million in sales. Can you tell me how to get to $125? And they'll say, I'll put you in touch with the person who gives you a 25% lift. That's how good that company is.
And then Amazon's advertising business is not even a distant third anymore to Meta and Alphabet. I mean, it's growing 27%.
Margins.
A year, the gross margins on advertising is something I mentioned. When we talk about advertising, you go to the site, right, and all of it's advertising based in terms of what you're seeing for your results when you search on Amazon's platform. So that's an incredibly lucrative business
for them, and
growing very quickly.
I mean, I found myself thinking, Carl, I said, okay, so let's say we go Amazon. Amazon is right now it's valued at... and you hit it up, right? It's like, oh, look, Amazon's at...
1.75 trillion.
Well, how about $2 trillion? Do I hear $2 trillion? Do I hear 2.25? I mean, what's the difference here? I mean, really? I mean, so Microsoft's 3? I'm all right, well, I'll pay. You know, but why shouldn't this be 3?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how crazy it is, David. That's how crazy. These companies are so dominant. You have said many times, sitting next to you, that when you look at any other company, it's like, what is the point?
Meta
what is
spend,
the point?
They may not quite hit it, but $40 billion in CapEx, that's Meta.
I know.
And Microsoft's above that. And Alphabet, the numbers on CapEx are mind-boggling, not to mention the revenue numbers and everything else associated with these companies, which is one reason why you do have to or you can't completely dismiss the threat from regulation, from those who would say these platforms are simply too large, too powerful, and need to be broken up, even though the law may not be behind
those
efforts.
So big.
Well, the reason they're spending so much is because the competition is so fierce.
They are, and that's why they all need the NVIDIA cards.
And the other thing I keep coming back to, Jim, is the days where the market freaked out on spending on a CapEx cycle at Amazon, that's over.
No, we want them to spend because the leverage is great now that they figured out which person they need. We always figured, like in advertising, like 50% of the people will take an action. Well, we just got to figure out what they wouldn't act on. Like Amazon, whatever they're acting on is working, and they've laid off the people who aren't. When I was talking to them last night, I was saying, guys, would it like matter if I had $1 billion idea for you guys?
Guys,
I wasted his time. You know, it's like I'm conscious. I don't want to take $1 billion of your time. I'll hang up after 2 minutes.
Worth, guys, getting, before we talk to Mike Worth from Chevron, getting to Charter, obviously a company that I have followed through the years.
Hey, how are they doing?
CEO. Not well. This quarter was not what analysts, at least, and investors had anticipated for Charter, one of the larger cable companies, if you want to call that, in the country. Also becoming one of the bigger wireless providers, you can see, getting crushed.
Jeez.
By the way, also having an impact on our parent company
stock,
which has been up lately after earnings, but is down sharply as
well. We're not in their business.
We're down over 2.8%. We are in their business. Let me give you the why. They lost 61,000 broadband subscribers in the quarter.
Okay.
That was not anticipated. Analysts had somewhere around a 10,000 loss number sort of penciled in there. They did add overall 546,000 mobile subs. That was good. They also continued, of course, lose on video. It was another, 246,000, I think, was the number on video subs. It goes on from there. That's not unexpected. Sorry, 257,000 was the loss on video subs. But it's the broadband number, guys, that is giving investors
What's the end game,
dude?
What's the end game for this?
This morning.
Is there an end game?
There's no end game. No, they're spending a lot on CapEx. They're not changing their CapEx plans. They're talking about inflationary pressures and what they've been able to pass through. This is from the call in terms of the best of their ability. The CFO talking about that in terms of pricing. They want to, doesn't mean they're not willing to pass through increases, but there's a balance and an environment where we're investing a lot into expansion and making sure they do maintain EBITDA growth. That's the CFO. There's the CEO, Chris Winfrey, but again, not well received, down to 12%, having an impact on Comcast as well. And of course, as we know, the video sub numbers just keep declining pretty dramatically, although less than had been anticipated, but overall,
cord
cutting continues apace.
Wow. I mean, what a bad business. I don't know. Those are bad numbers, dude. I mean,
it's a free cash flow business. It's not a top line growth business. That's for sure.
Down 11%, worse than the day.
Yeah, it's bad.
I mean, worse than commercial real estate companies, which is saying something. Okay, what's the number one performing stock in the S&P this year?
This year,
yeah.
Number one performing stock in the S&P. It's not NVIDIA. It's up 30%.
Meta going to be the one that's leading today.
Meta just passed NVIDIA.
Oh, it did.
Yeah,
31%.
Yep.
Very close.
Isn't that something? Zuckerberg last night. That's another one. I mean, sometimes I know that if you're interested in stocks, it's just worth it at times to go spend 40 minutes. Just go listen to the CEO. Listen for 15. Because you listen to a Jassy or a Zuckerberg, you listen to Tim Cook. It's just delightful because these are successful, great American companies. You feel very proud of your country when you listen to these people.
You have to give them credit, Jim, for digging out of a hole that, a year and a half ago? Serious doubts.
Oh, wow. My. All right. We got to go to, one of my absolute favorites in the industry of oil and gas. And David, this industry, David spent some time down at Exxon, a competitor to Chevron. And their shares are rising after the oil giant posted fourth quarter results, raised its dividend. Wasn't that long ago, I read a piece and called Mike Wirth and said, hey, listen, here's a guy, an analyst, who says you're going to have to cut your dividend. That doesn't seem right. Michael Wirth, Chevron CEO, joins us first on CBC. Hey, Mike, you make a lot more money than a lot of people on Wall Street thought. How's that possible?
Jim, it's good to see you. 2023 was really a year of records for us. We had record global oil and gas production, over 3.1 million barrels a day. We had record production here in the U.S. In the fourth quarter, we had record production in the Permian of over 860,000 barrels a day on our way to a million barrels a day in 2025. And we returned more than $26 billion to shareholders through our dividend and our buyback. Almost 10% of our market capitalization was returned to shareholders last year. And as you said earlier this week, we raised our dividend per share 8%, which is the 37th consecutive year that our annual dividend payout has increased.
So you still want to do a giant deal, even though I felt that after reading this quarter that Chevron's great on its own. Why is it? What's necessary? Why do a deal?
Well, we have a great portfolio on our own.
I know.
We can continue to create value and deliver performance. But this is a resource acquisition business. It's a depletion business as we produce our resources. And we're always looking to strengthen our portfolio. This is a long-term play with a company that has a very strong set of complementary assets to ours. And it underpins our growth in free cash flow, not only through the balance of this decade, but well into the next. Which is important when you've got a track record of organic investment and shareholder distributions, as I just mentioned.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because the FTC has decided to probe the Occidental Crown Rock merger, and I thought that was a little thing companies are doing and shouldn't even hit the radar screen of the FTC, and then you got your deal with Hess. Are you prepared to fight if they don't like this deal, are you prepared to fight for it?
We don't think there's any real substantive anti-competitive dimensions on our deal. We do have a second request. We've been working with the FTC. It's a very broad request. And so we're producing documents and working with them to be sure that we're delivering what they're looking for. So that does take some time. We still anticipate closing around the middle of the year. And we'll work with the FTC to get through the process for a deal that really poses no issues.
Mike, you're a person who really knows more than just the nuts and bolts of oil. Can you speak to what's happening in the Red Sea? And also, what would have happened in another era, say 1973, when there was a war in the Middle East, and what was done to our country because our country resupplied the country of Israel?
Yeah, the situation in the Middle East is volatile and risky right now. Certainly, we've seen an impact on shipping, container shipping, as well as in our industry. Interestingly, prices have not really reflected the risk that you might have seen in times past. Part of that is because while the Middle East remains a very important source of supply for the world, there are other places that are important sources of supply, including the United States of America, which is now the largest producer of oil in the world, larger than Saudi Arabia or Russia. Last year, over 13 million barrels a day, and will likely grow again this year. And markets now have more diverse sources of supply. The U.S. has more diverse sources of supply. And so we see the importance of reliability in energy. And that, I think, is one of the reasons why markets have been a little calmer than you might have expected given these events.
Hey, Mike, it's David. Just want to come back to the Hess deal for a moment. ExxonMobil will be your partner in Guyana, which is a very important part of the overall deal, certainly an asset for Hess, given they partner with ExxonMobil there. Darren Woods was a guest earlier on Squawk Box, but I'm curious to get your take as well. You know, these bellicose statements from Venezuela, some concern there in terms of would they ever try to move on Guyana, a country of a million people, and take control of the oil. What are your thoughts on that and or the risk perhaps it poses for that important property that's part of Hess?
We partner with Exxon in many places around the world. Also, there's a Chinese company, CNOOC, that is a partner in the Guyana project. And so the country is actually important to both the United States and China, as you've got large investors.
Well,
we lost them.
We lost them. Oh, go ahead.
All right, we're listening. I can't hear Mike Wirth.
All right, well, that's Mike, I think, is coming from a golf tournament where I think his wife is going to win, by the way. Tremendous golfer. David, one thing I did when you mentioned about the Guyana situation, is that the type of thing that the FTC may say, this FTC may say, listen, I don't know if I, this is not right. These two companies could be colluding.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you heard Mr. Wirth discuss the second request from the FTC. My understanding, it was fairly voluminous, but of course, he said they're on track. So I'm taking believing that.
And David, because you spent a lot of time with Darren at Exxon, any qualitative comparisons about what the two companies are up to?
I would leave it more to you to make those comparisons.
I thought they were both excellent, frankly, and I think that what's really incredible, David, is both companies were thought a year ago to be, particularly Chevron, because it's had several years of underperformance, kind of not able to grow the way they used to, and to replenish the way they used to. And when you hear the numbers that Mike Wirth said about the Permian, if everyone produces that much, particularly if Standard Oil, Exxon, ever to get to Pioneer, you might do 15 million barrels a day. 15 million.
We're already at 13.3.
Yeah, we could do 15, and then the price of oil, it's, now you're starting to wonder if it
can maintain. But they do return more of these two companies to shareholders in the form of dividend and buybacks than they put into the ground at this point.
Yes,
is
they
that
do.
Correct?
Yeah. Yes, they do. They're also very trying to be stewards because they recognize that their business isn't going to last forever. There was a piece that Mike kind of was not that crazy about when I spoke to him recently. A Cowen piece, downgrade to market performance, pause the performance on Permian projects and M&A, which questioned whether they could pay the dividend as is, and I think Mike's increase of the dividend may have made it so that this piece
Take that, Cowan.
Yeah, this is more of an ill-advised piece. I'm not going to mention. I'm not going to mention who wrote this. David, can you read this? What you mentioned? What's the name there? The guy who screwed up on this?
Jason.
Meanwhile, Jim, we talked about the Ford going to top pick at Morgan Stanley. Yeah. Tesla, first Death Cross since May of 22.
The Death Cross, the fabled Death Cross?
Yes, regulators are now looking or intensifying their probe into power steering losses. There's a software recall today.
But then you have Kathy Woods might look at it, that Death Cross, and say, I got to turn that into a Golden Cross. Right? I mean, because there are CEOs, there are people who run money in this country who literally do try to get that stock up higher. It's part of their MO, and you know, buy it, and then it's a take and bid situation where you get the stock back. But I would say that the main reason why I'm concerned about this is that when David interviewed Musk has a lot of big things he'd like to do. And I feel like that if you accelerated his space venture and he could sell stock in that, then he might move over, spend more time there, and you don't get his full AI benefit.
Yeah, I think there are any number of risks related to Musk, certainly.
Did you think the pay package was outrageous given how much money he made to other people, or do you think that's irrelevant? What matters is process and the opaque nature of which this divorce lawyer was able to get a better deal for him.
Those are great questions. Obviously, Chancellor McCormick believed the process itself was deeply flawed.
Yeah.
But I think many shareholders would not be complaining because he delivered incredible results, and or at least the market cap accretion was the likes of which we've rarely seen, and he benefited from it the same way that any long-term investor did.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike Wirth. Mike Wirth is the CEO of Chevron.
Sorry we lost him there.
Yep. Well, that was funny. But we're still on. Sorry.
Before we go to break, let's check bonds. The 10-year still refusing to push higher than 3.9 or so as it takes a look.
That's incredible. Come on, that's the story of the morning, not the Vision Pro, not Zuckerberg.
There's 3.99.
The wrong 10-year.
We're not done yet, by the way.
No, it's probably
early. We'll get UMish and factory orders and durables in about 10 minutes.
All right, last block there. We lost Mike Wirth's signal, but we got him back, CEO of Chevron. And Mike, let me just quickly come back to that question I was asking about Guyana, just to put it very, you were answering it, but is there a concern on your part in terms of the Venezuelan government and what it may or may not do, given the importance it has to Hess, which you're in the process of acquiring?
Yeah, I'm not sure where I cut out, but the presidents of the two countries have met. There seems to be a diplomatic dialogue that is underway right now. Oftentimes, these types of disputes, particularly where there's natural resources involved, can become heated, but always they're resolved through discussions, negotiations, and diplomacy. And that certainly is what appears to be, underway with respect to Venezuela and Guyana.
Okay, Mike, our president recently put pause to longer-term LNG deals, went to assess them. I speak to a lot of people whom I would regard as being our allies in the oil business, whether it be South Korea, whether it be some of the countries in Western Europe. They're all horrified. They're all concerned that they're going to have to become reliant on Russia. They're concerned about their own security. Are we at times, as a nation, being a little too glib about the security of our allies versus how much pollution LNG plants might cause?
Jim, energy policy should not be political. U.S. LNG imports are very important to supply our allies, and they often back out coal around the world, particularly in Asia. The U.S. stepped in when Russia proved to be an unreliable supplier and was there when our allies in Europe needed that. The U.S. has export capacity now that can supply many countries around the world, reduce emissions, and provide reliable and affordable energy to power economies. One of the things that's really important on these types of investments is confidence and certainty and reliability over the long term. Countries make long-term investments in their energy value chains, and it's very important that they have a reliable supply. These kinds of policy politics undermine the confidence that customers around the world should have in the United States.
Well, I want to thank you, Mike. That's a pretty succinct way of talking about what countries that have really relied on us, and if they go rely on another force, part of the old evil empire, I think it would be really terrible. But anyway, I'm not a political guy, but I think you summarized it correctly. Mike, CEO of Chevron, congratulations, great quarter. I know you put to rest those who are actually concerned about the dividend by giving a big increase in the dividend. Well played.
Well, Jim, as I mentioned, we've got a track record of 37 consecutive years of dividend increases over the last 5 or 6 years, more than twice any of our peers, stronger than the S&P 500. And we're returning a lot of cash to shareholders. As I said, $26 billion last year. We've paid down debt each year for the last 3 years. Our balance sheet is rock solid with single-digit net debt. We're built for a $50 world. We can cover our dividend, our capital spending at a much lower oil price. And in an environment like we see today, we've got plenty of capacity to continue to return cash to shareholders. So we've got a durable, resilient set of assets and a very consistent approach to returning cash to shareholders.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Great to have you on. I was hoping for a good number because so many people I have who watch Mad Money are in the stock because they want that dividend, and you delivered. Thank you very much.
Good to see you.
Jim, look forward to seeing you tonight. We're going to get an early spring. Thank you, Punxsutawney Phil.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yes. Yeah, he was a thank you, buddy. I've got Cardinal Health. This is a company that is so huge. These middlemen, which they don't like to say, but make so much money. And they will talk about what value and service they do. And one of my favorite guys in the apparel business, Tim Boyle, Columbia Sportswear. We have to stay close to how the consumer's doing. And their stuff is, you know, whether it be Lululemon, whether it be Columbia, whether it be Gap stores, because we don't know. It's that employment number.
And the consumption estimates Atlanta Fed 4.2. We're going to see where we get next few months, Jim.
How about if they had said we may cut? All those analysts were saying they should say the cut. They should turn in their badge. Look, what kind of badge should you get in this business? None of them are going to get the Congressional Medal of Bonio, I'll tell you that much.
We'll see you tonight, Jim. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Dow's down 100, but Meta now up a full 20%.
Wow.
We're back in a minute.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.